And a happy good evening to each of you. Our lesson tonight will be Little Foxes, an expression taken from the Song of Solomon and a passage that comes from that book. Personally, I don't believe I have ever heard a sermon from Song of Solomon. If you're in that same boat, I'm going to change that tonight. Sometimes it's difficult to find a text that sparks an idea and helps you to develop some thinking, something applicable, especially from a book like this that deals with so much romantic love. And if our young people were going to be away, we might be in a position to better talk about those sort of things, but since they're here, we won't. Little Foxes from Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8, where the female speaks in all of these verses, 8 through 15. Listen, my beloved, behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the figs in blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom." You no doubt recognize that as poetic text. I am confident. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards. Foxes or jackals or little foxes are very, very common in Palestine and particularly fond of grapes, we're told in Bible dictionaries. They often burrow in holes and hedges around gardens, and unless they are strictly watched and shooed away, they would virtually destroy any vineyard. Their flesh was sometimes eaten in the fall of the year and the autumn because they had grown fat on feeding on grapes in the country. But really, there's more to this request than protection for a garden or protection for a vineyard. Clearly, the maiden speaks poetically here, using the little foxes as emblems of that which would eat away and damage the love relationship that she shares with her beloved. The idea is that their relationship is especially tender and precious, just as grapes are when they are on the vine. It's vulnerable, needing protection. Tender grapes need to be guarded. It's like a fruitful vineyard, and the little foxes will damage the vineyard unless they're caught, unless they're stopped, unless they're captured. The appeal is made to some group of outsiders that are not named to prevent the little foxes. Stop those little things. Stop those forces that could destroy the purity of their love from defiling their vineyards, which are now blossoming. You can get that picture of a blossoming love between two. So they plead for protection for the love that blossoms between them so that no little thing will creep in and spoil that love. When thinking of this romantic love, there may be several little foxes that trouble couples or husband and wife, even in our society today. Uncontrolled desire that drives a wedge of guilt and mistrust between a couple that is in love or has been in love. Mistrust and jealousy that strains or breaks the bond of love, selfishness and pride that refuses to acknowledge wrong and fault to one another in that relationship, or an unforgiving attitude that refuses to accept or refuses to give an apology when an apology is needed. The illustration of little foxes, or what you and I might call pesky little critters, spoilers, demonstrates this type of lesson for us. Spoilers, the little foxes, the little pesky critters may ruin our relationship with Jesus Christ. The enemies may seem to us to be small, but unless they're caught and captured, unless they're done away with, the mischief done is very, very great, and how numerous those little foxes are. And Satan sees to it that the release of the little foxes on our relationship, our faithfulness to our God, never stops. Those little foxes, those little pesky critters, just seem to be everywhere. A little compromise with the world, a little disobedience to the voice that we've been trained to listen to in our consciences, little indulgences of the flesh, a little neglect of our duty, a little bending of the Word of God so that we may view it selfishly to justify some personal desire that we may have. And then before you know it, the beauty and the fruitfulness of a blossoming relationship of love for our Heavenly Father is deteriorated and spoiled, and the vines are sacrificed. We certainly recognize the need to bear fruit in our lives. John 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus teaches us to bear fruit in the kingdom in a very pointed way. Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit in the Galatian letter in chapter 5. We must be careful in our cultivation and watch out for these little foxes that will spoil the vines. You were running well, Paul told the Galatians. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Some little foxes had crept in and hindered them from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice that the vines are not lost because they're cut down or they're uprooted. Vines grow and vines bear fruit. But a little negligence, a little indulgence here and there, when the little foxes are not watched and curbed and the fruit begins to spoil on the vine. The little foxes that can spoil the fruit of the Spirit are the small vices and the slight little attitudes that we overlook in our lives many times. They're fox-like when they are very sly and they sneak up on us and they catch us unaware and they overtake us maybe. Some have been overtaken in Galatia. In Galatians 6, chapter 1. Restore those. You spiritual ones, restore those who've been overtaken in a fall. Let's consider some of the little foxes that might spoil the fruit that we bear briefly for the remainder of our time tonight. Selfishness can be a little fox that eats away at love. It is the little fox of our time, I think, because in our day we live in a society where it's all about me. It's all about my interests and my wants. King Saul demonstrated that very thing in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 20, beginning in verse 31, when he became very angry at his own son, Jonathan. And the record says, for as long as the son of Jesse, in reference to David, this is Saul speaking to Jonathan, as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Therefore now, send and bring him to me, for he must surely die. But Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be put to death? What has he done? Then Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. Could you ever believe that someone could become so selfish that they would murder one of their own children? His selfishness destroyed his love for God. His selfishness destroyed his love for his own flesh and blood. His selfishness destroyed his love for David, and his selfishness ended up destroying his love for himself even. Selfishness is that little fox that can eat away at our vineyards and destroy things that are good fruit. Another little fox is discontentment, and it can spoil joy. Haman is an example of this in the book of Esther in chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Then Haman recounted to them, to his family, the glory of his riches and the number of his sons and every instance where the king had magnified him and how he had promoted him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman also said, "Even Esther the queen, let no one but me come into the king, to the banquet which she had prepared, and tomorrow I am invited by her with the king." And notice what he says next. "Yet all of this does not satisfy me. Every time I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." The man had a great deal of things and situations in life that should have made him very happy. But his discontentment spoiled his joy that he should have had. That little fox of discontentment ate away at his joyful vineyard and ruined it. It was allowed to roam wild and free. He had a good job and family. But despite all of those good things that he had, he allowed a little discontentment to spoil everything. We can allow discontentment to spoil our joy. God has blessed us so very much in this country and in our family relationships that we have and our relationships with other people. Don't we live a good life? Don't we have our needs provided for by our wonderful God? He's given us so much to bless us and to fill our hearts with rejoicing and joy. We rejoice in the Lord, Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 4, and verse 4. We rejoice always, he told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. But if we allow that little fox of discontentment to come into our hearts and settle there, it will spoil all of our joy that we have in this life. Worry is another little fox that eats away at the peace that we can enjoy. Jesus told us very clearly, "Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or as to your body, what you will put on. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do not even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." In Matthew 6. Darius, the Medo-Persian ruler, was a man who was worried, and his worry spoiled his sleep, we are told in Daniel 6 and verse 19. The king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Have you ever had a sleepless night? And what makes it really horrible is if you have a lot of work that you need to do the next day, or you need to be sharp the next day to take care of some important business, and you toss and you turn all night and you try with everything in you to go to sleep and you just can't do it because you're worried about something. That little fox becomes a big fox, doesn't it? And it spoils peace that we can have. Martha allowed a little fox to distract her, to cause her to be worried about unimportant things when the very Lord was sitting in her house teaching the gospel. The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." When those little worries, those little foxes begin to eat away at you, think of this. Think of Martha and Mary. And do not allow the little fox of worry to take your mind off the good part. Savor that good part. Keep, Keep the vineyard alive in your life. Impatience is another little fox that worries us sometimes. And it can ruin our long suffering. Hebrews 10 and verse 35, the Hebrew writer said, "Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that you, when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." And that's what we're all looking for, isn't it? But that little fox of impatience can eat away at our vineyards and make that our vineyard unfruitful. The impatience of James and John is illustrated by Luke when Luke was writing his gospel in chapter 9, beginning in verse 51. When it was drawing near the time that Jesus would be ascended back into heaven, Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem, we're told, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him, but they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Do you see their impatience there? They had allowed that little fox of impatience to enter their hearts. But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Impatience is a sly little fox that can destroy our fruitful attempts to live with patience and endurance as we should in this life. Another little fox that can eat away at our kindness is bitterness. The bitterness of the Pharisees had hardened their hearts, as Mark records for us in his gospel in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him, we are told. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. You know something that makes the Lord angry? You see it in this passage, don't you? He was grieved at their hardness of heart. Bitterness in their lives had eaten away their fruitful vineyard. Little by little, it had crept into their hearts, and now their hearts had become bitter. Their vineyard was almost totally spoiled. Bitterness will do that. Laziness is a little fox that eats away at goodness. The one who steals should not steal any longer, but rather labor with his hands, that he might be able to provide something to share with one who has need in Ephesians 4 and verse 28. You remember in Proverbs 24, we talked about the sluggard who allowed his garden to just go away and diminish into weeds and unprofitable vegetation. The wall was broken down, and that man was called a sluggard who lacked sense. That type of laziness can spoil the good fruit of an industrious person's garden. Many times we look around at our nation and we think, maybe some of the goodness has gone out of our nation. Maybe there are too many people that just will not do something for themselves, and so they can have something to bless the lives of others. It is a subtle and sly little fox that can eat away at people. Doubt is something that can spoil our vineyard of faith. In John 20, in verse 25, the other disciples were saying to Thomas, called Didymus, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Later, the Lord tells him, do not be faithless. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas sometimes gets a bad rap, I think. The Lord does not chastise him for his uncertainty in the view of the fact that he had not been able to clearly and objectively and fairly examine the evidence that was there. He wasn't in the place where he could. He was not with the other disciples. But when the evidence was presented to him, and when the evidence was clear and available and unmistakable, then the Lord commanded him to believe and do not exist in unbelief. Doubt can spoil faith, especially nowadays when we have God's completed revelation to man. And when we want to know a question about God's will, it's not like we wait around for additional revelation from God. We can look into His Word this very day and have our questions answered, and our doubts can go away. But if we allow that little fox of doubt to eat away at our vineyards, we better be careful because our vineyards may be ruined. We all have questions. The problem comes when we do not actively seek out answers for our problems, answers from the Word of God. There are those who allow these little foxes of doubt to spoil their faith, and they do not take proper care. They do not look for answers, and they do not seek out the evidence. But remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Remember those words of the Lord Jesus when you see that little fox of doubt creeping into your heart. Pride is another little fox that can eat away at our meekness before God. Uzziah's pride spoiled his meekness in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 15 and 16. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong, the record says. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. You know, pride makes a man do things and justify himself in his own mind when he knows full well that he's going against exactly what God said. Pride destroyed him. The women of Jerusalem in the days of Isaiah, when Isaiah was speaking prophecy to those people and showing that every part, every segment of society, every group of people must bear their own responsibility for the condemnation that was coming because they refused to repent, Isaiah spoke of the women of Jerusalem in this way. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are proud and walk with heads held high and seductive eyes and go along with mincing steps and tinkle the bangles on their feet, therefore the Lord will afflict the scalp of the daughters of Zion with scabs, and the Lord will make their foreheads bare. There'll be a penalty to pay. And he says one of the reasons is because of pride. Because that little fox of pride started to eat away at the vineyards of their hearts. And it, you see where it took them. Took them down the wrong road, the road that leads to destruction. The love of pleasure is a little fox that eats away at self-control. The prodigal, the one who recklessly was extravagant with his inheritance, who was lavishly wasteful. In Luke 15 and verse 13, he gathered everything together and went on a long journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living, we're told. That little fox of pleasure and the love of pleasure ate away at his fruitful vineyard. In Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 5, when you sit down with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you're a man of great appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. That little bit of desire for self-pleasure can eat away at you until it swallows you up, as it has so many people. In Hebrews 11 and verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to receive ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, Moses was a person who was very strong in faith and wouldn't allow that little fox to eat away at his heart. Considering their approach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. These are all little foxes that can eat away at us. The only way to deal with the little foxes is not gently, like some little pet that we love, and keep it around and entertain it and have it entertain us, because they're cute little fellas, aren't they? That's not the way to deal with the little fox that's about to destroy your vineyard. The only way to deal with the little foxes is to hunt them down and destroy them. As the parable of the nobleman who went into a distant country to receive a kingdom that Jesus told us about in Luke 19. He went away to receive this kingdom for himself, and he was to return. When the accounting time came for the businesses that they were to conduct while he was away, when some decided, "We do not want this man to reign over us," Luke 19 and verse 27 says, "But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence." That is what must be done with every little fox that would eat away at our spiritual lives and cause us to fall away from God. Everyone must be killed. We can't nurture and coddle and play around with the things that will destroy our souls. We must put them to death. That's a very important lesson, I think. So I hope this little stroll through the Song of Solomon has been profitable to you. And I hope that the way that we have taken the illustration about the little foxes will be something that you'll remember and that you'll think about. Those little foxes are sly little critters, aren't they? And they can destroy when they're given away to destroy. Let us keep them out of our lives. That would be the best way to handle our spiritual lives, the best thing that we can do. If you're in our assembly tonight and we can help you to walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in, we'd be most happy to do that. If there's someone here tonight that is not walking with God and you need to repent, please take care of that tonight. There is no need to go away from this fine assembly of people who care for you and love you and are praying for you. There's no need to go away outside of Christ and in a lost condition. Please take care of that tonight if you need to. And if you do, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.